Blog Talk Radio.
Word, biblios, many books, taken through the ages, ageless, timeless, prophets, apostles, epistles, the gospel, the righteous, the hostile, the woeful, the wonderful.
On the Sabbath days or on Sundays, it's easy to find me. It's most likely up in your churches where I might be. It's millions over this earth who would tell you that they like me. But realistically, half of them take what I say lightly.
Yo, they just push me off the table like they don't need me. Look me in my face like they don't see me.
What?
Granny's off the church and she won't leave me. Then she comes home from church, but she won't read
my name, King James Version, born in 1611. I was made to teach brethren how to reach the kingdom of heaven. I might not be saying the same thing as your reverend, but quote what was wrote, but it ain't the way it's living.
You probably catch me at your grandma's house, opening Psalms. I was like your grandpa's spouse over in Arm. You catch me in a small jailhouse over in Guam. I speak about the hotel from nowhere to come.
Now travel through my pages, learn about the ancients. Life and death is in me, but some don't want to hear me. Misuse me to conquer many lands. Many men have been slaves for who I am. The saints' blood on their hands.
Governments attempted to get rid of me and still trying. Society refused to listen to me and still dying. I give counsel to disciples on his field grind to remind them that the place they want to be is still dying.
Yo, I'm a bookshelf missionary. I could school the school books plus Dr. Seuss in the dictionary. What's written is power. I'm sitting in the parlor. I'm the only book closed, but I open at any hour.
It's always a nappy head kid with a gold tooth with his hand on my head saying he swear to tell the whole truth.
Yo, dude, they got me on a show called Dusty. Living godly is a must, but don't nobody trust me.
I teach about the old trails. Mortar's the bomb. Seven plagues, seven seals. Vultures the swarm. Rage in the field. Soldiers, storms. The Cummins, the horns. You've been warned.
A lot of preachers want me on their team just to make a profit, when all I want to do is give you words of the sacred prophets so my creators can see believers making progress. I warn them of the dangers and loving material objects.
Open me up, pray to the God of all men, the God of Jacob, Isaac, the God of Abraham. May he open up his plan, why he came as a man. God 12 and spread his truth to every nation through the land.
Yo, we kicked it, you was once sober. But you won't show my name, cause when your friends came, you keep turning my front over. What's this on my back? Use me as a cup coaster. Come closer, let me do my job like I'm supposed
Yo,
to.
Yo, bro, it's 66 books in me, good and plenty. But up north, they rip out pages to puff Cincy. But the saints study intensely, cause there's riches in me. But to the wicked, I ain't worth
And you can run around wildin', looking in the sky. Or you can read me, choose life or die. Who's right but I, man, a tooth for an eye. The water's broke loose, now the fire's gonna fry.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I hold the keys to survival. I'm here to strengthen God's saints and the water's rivals.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm telling you, stop serving these idols. Ain't no other God, the Lord holding that title.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. Original holy scrolls, comfort lonely souls with the oracles of the moral code.
I'm the Bible.
I'm the Bible. I'm trying to save many men, but any who pretend his kingdom, they won't be getting them. I'm the number one selling book of all time. I done made billions. But if the people don't understand, I ain't happy. So come get with me, sit with me, and I'ma show you mysteries.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Shalom, good morning. Good afternoon, if you're on the East Coast, I guess. Shalom, welcome once again to another episode of Swear the Truth Presents Bible Talk. My name is Mashallah, one of the teachers with the ISBHPK. That's the Israelite School of Biblical History, Practical Knowledge. This is my camp association. My nationality is a Hebrew Israelite from the tribe of Judah. That's my nationality. I am definitely Hebrew Israelite according to the prophecies given throughout the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Apocrypha, and particularly when we match the prophecies given to from Moses to the conditions that the 12 tribes of Israel would be in the latter days that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 28. And also Genesis chapter 33 from Jacob, describing what the his sons, the condition that their tribes, and also the geographical locations that they would be in. We know according to that, yes, we are definitely the so-called Negroes, West Indians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Cubans, North American Indians, Seminole Indians, Argentinians, Chileans, Brazilians, Colombians, Panamanians, and Mexicans here in the Western and North and South hemispheres. We are the descendants of the 12 lost tribes
of the nation of Israel. So with that, I do want to say shalom. Welcome once again to another show. We started this show yesterday, and we entitled it Being Accepted of the Most High. It was part one yesterday. And if you didn't get a chance to hear that show, even for myself, the show was enlightening. For myself, it was very insightful. One thing I love about the Bible, one thing I love about the scriptures is they can never get old. The Bible is so perfectly written, not that it's written in such a perfectly chronological order, or that there's not any any grammatical grammar mistakes, but in that it's so perfect in that you can always learn something from it. It's always going to show you something new. It's similar to like when you watch a movie. When you're watching a movie, the more times you watch it, you always get something more, something you missed, something that you didn't recognize, see, or perceive that gets revealed to you. And that's one thing I find about the Bible, that the more you keep studying, you keep going through this book, you should never get to the point where you're like, okay, I know this already. I know this, so I'm good. There's depths to the Most High. Like we can never comprehend God. He is that infinite. He is that infinite. And the words written in this book, the prophecies in this book, are so infinite that and there's levels to it. That it's just amazing how the Most High is revealing more and more to Himself. To where the saying, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know anything. You know, even the scripture that says, he that thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, or he that thinks he knows anything, knows nothing as he ought to. And even the scripture in Corinthians also where Paul said, we see through a glass darkly. So the Most High is always revealing himself to us on many different levels. So I do want to welcome everybody who is returning to the show today, whether it's the live show that we're doing right now here out of San Antonio, Texas, or if you catch one of the archive shows. We want to thank you for listening in, and I'm gonna check to see if my co-host, priest, teacher, brother Bonabat is actually ready right now. So what I'm gonna do, brothers and sisters, I need to play a little bit more music, just so I can go ahead and check this. And I do see your hand there. I do see your hand. 602. Give me 1 second. Let me, again, real quick. Give me 1 second, 62, I got you. Give me 1 second. Thank you. back. We are back. We are back. And the brother Bonabad has joined me, and we do have some special guests online coming out of Las Vegas and out of Mesa, Arizona, that will be have some questions, what have you. Brother Bonabad, what's going on with you? What's happening?
Oh, man, I listened to you. I was enjoying the class yesterday, man. Got up early, you know what I'm saying? But just going through a little more of some of the things we was talking about. You know what I'm saying? It was in my head the whole night. You know what I'm saying? Got up this morning, focused on the fact that there was a question that, and we're not going to go into this topic, but it was certain questions and certain things that we've always discussed, but you know, we were talking about that popped up about doing the will of the Father. You know, what does it mean to serve Him? Different things. And I'm not that we're going to those topics right now because we ain't got time. You know, so those are those ones that take about a week. You know, just to keep going through all the scriptures and really get a good understanding of it. But you brought to good points that you know we really went into the fact that this really is about learning to do the Father's will. And it all and like we've been talking about, this is not always about what you want, you know. Starting this morning with the boys, just getting up, as we was getting the day going, you know what I'm saying? We get the day going, we plan it out for something, and then the scripture says, man's goings of the Lord. You know what I'm saying? If a man divides his way, the Most High directed steps. So, you know, we're planning the day. We know what we've got. You know, we know we've got things laid out, and all of a sudden, this person falls sick, or this happens. And then now everybody has to go through this mad dash of adjusting their mind. You know what I'm saying? Happened to do it.
True.
I was thinking one way. I was planning for this. Now I have to change my plans because the Father had this happen. I got to put slack up here. I got to do this. So as happens in life, I feel that a lot of times we make plans. And we know what we think. We know what we think we want to do. And I worded it like that. We know what we think we wanted to do. And the Father always has what He wants to do. You know what I'm saying? So
true.
The scripture I wanted to read that popped in my head was Psalms 41:8. And I'm just going to read it real quick. And I'm not trying to start it off just jumping into the scriptures. It was just the thought that went through my head was Psalms 48 says, I'm just going to read it. It says, I delight to do thy will, O my power. Yeah, thy law is within my heart or within my mind, right? But the delight is in the fact that, you know what, it may not always go the way I want it to go, but if my delight is in doing His will, I can always make the adjustment because it was about pleasing Him. You know what I'm saying? It was always about pleasing the Father anyway. So if this is what the day brings, then we adjust to what it brings. I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to let myself get negative. I'm not going to get angry because all I can do is make the adjustments, and then I can prove that I'm humble enough to just make whatever adjustments I need to make so that I can now endure and go on through the day to know what it's going to bring. So, I mean, this morning really, and not this morning, but every morning, I think we get hit with the same thing. We make plans, and then the plans that you make don't always coincide with the Father's plans. But can I adjust? You know, your car broke down. Do I get mad and pissed off? No, I just have to adjust. You know, we was running late. This happened. We just adjust. Person got sick. We just adjust. So we go through the truth. A lot of times it'll be the fact that the Most High's got me here in going through something. Like if it's the car broke down, like a Bajaj's car broke down this morning, you know. I know you wanted to get pissed. The trunk won't close. The car don't run. The trunk don't close. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to figure out how to do this. But it's like I love the way he handled it today. He stayed calm through the day, okay? I mean, this happened this morning. We figure out how to get it fixed, make the calls we need to make. You know, everybody left happy. You know, there are some mornings, a lot of fighting and anger that just snowballs on you. because you're mad that things aren't going the way that you want them to go. You know?
No doubt. No doubt. Yeah.
So yeah, this, I brought that up.
As concerning the events that was even just going to this morning, they had that relate to what the topic we're discussing about can we make the adjustments to fit what the Most High has going on, or are we going to force our own way? Are we going to force our own will? Are we going to force what we want as opposed to are we doing God's will? Are we actually doing what He wants?
Right.
You know, and keeping in line too some of the meditations and some of the perspectives I was meditating on that if I could share, you know, even in the Lord's Prayer, it says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You know, and that's are we really preparing ourselves to do His will? And He says that it might be on earth like the same way it is in heaven. So we would have to come back now and really look at, well, how does God do things in heaven? How does the Most High do things in heaven that where His will is being done in heaven, that He wants it done here on earth also? And if the Father's will was already being done on earth, why would Christ tell us to pray that prayer?
Right.
I'm sorry, you were saying?
Right. No. I'm laughing and agreeing because you're right on one thing. If it was being done on earth like we claim, then there will be no need to pray for your will to be done. But we know that right now, most of the things going, 99.9% of the things that are going on now this earth are to satisfy the flesh of men more than it's about the Father.
Yeah.
You know, and some of the things we talked about yesterday, it was about walking in the flesh, or we were talking about not trying to walk after the flesh, trying to follow the Spirit. You know what I'm saying? Trying to learn His will, His path, His way. And then I like it too, but that's something that has to be taught. You have a lot of people that believe they know the Lord. They open the Bible and read a few scriptures, and they think they understand the Lord. Or I didn't sat in service and, you know, I sat up on a pew. I had the fan out. I sang the hymns. I felt the Spirit, and I know the Father. It ain't until you start living life that you figure out, wait a minute, what I thought He was has nothing to do with what I'm living and really seeing what the Father is about and who He is and His mind. That's the one thing we don't understand. We don't understand the mind of the Father because most of us ain't been taught the truth of the Bible, number one, because we believe, and some of our new viewers, they'll believe that God is all love. And you know what I'm saying? And we can read in the book, He's all. He ain't just love. He said He loved, but He also hates. A lot of people don't want to believe that. A lot of people don't want to accept that that's the side of the Father. And that's the side of His character, that He also hates, that He have one chosen people. Not a lot of people want to believe that. You know what I'm saying? That, like we talked about yesterday, that we have to suffer to please Him. A lot of people don't want to believe that because they want to believe and only believe there's only one side to the Father and it's all good. But that's not His mind. That's just the lies that we've been taught and the things that we want to believe about Him rather than what really is. Other scripture, man, up that popped in my head, man. Romans chapter, 10 and verse 2? I think it's Romans 10 and 2.
Let me pull it up.
And we're going to go in depth into what we're going into. I just, you know, I guess there's some times, you know, you get new minds on the show. You get a chance to throw a little something out there, man. Things that make you say, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you get to throw that out there just a little bit, man. Was it Romans chapter 10? And then I said we'll be verse verse 2. Will you read that real quick?
I got you.
It says, okay, cool.
Romans chapter 10, verse 2 says, for I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge.
And that is really the heart of people. That's the mind of everybody that opened that book up. But when you read 10, that was the mind of Israel. He said, we do have a zeal for the Most High. But we just don't, but not according to knowledge. Read on.
It says, verse 3, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
And that's really the catch. Most of what we consider to be righteousness is established by, it's established in our ignorance. Because I really don't understand the Father, and the things that feel good to me are what I'll start to establish as righteousness. When I've never submitted, I've never allowed myself to be taught what's right in the eyes of God or in the eyes of the Most High.
Very true.
That you know what I'm saying? And you look at it, the Most High said, it's been that way. It's been that way with our people, number one. We only go off of what feels good. Hey, what we eat. You know, I look at it, if the Most High gave us a list of foods that were clean and unclean, and we only eat what tastes good, you know what I'm saying? You would almost think the Father would have gave us a list of seasonings that were good and that were clean and unclean. Because we don't care what we eat as long as it tastes good. And it must be righteous and is accepted because it tastes good, not because it actually was right in the eyes of the Most High or not. So when you, it can be pork. When you show a person, hey, you're not supposed to eat pork because it's unclean to the Father. But I don't see nothing wrong with it. I'd be quick to look and say I don't see anything wrong with it because from when my mama cooked pork and when you put that pork in hot and greens and black-eyed peas, it brings the flavor.
Right.
It's not really about what's right with the Father. It's about what tastes or feels good to me because our people do walk after flesh. We don't walk after the Spirit. We walk after what tastes good. We walk after what feels good. We walk after what looks good. We walk after what fits rather than us living our lives walking after what's right in the eyes of the Father and not just how I feel, right? But we do go about – go ahead, what you got? What you going to say?
I'm listening.
I was saying, man, we do go about to establish our own righteousness, huh?
No, I was just going to add to it, if I might, where it says here in Romans chapter 7. Let me pull it up real quick.
Okay.
In verse 14, because as we read, I know people that read Romans chapter 10 will also go on to read Romans chapter 10, verse 4, and say, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And they want to leave it right there. And like, as long as you believe in Christ, you're being righteous. Which I'm not denying the scripture. I'm not denying the scripture. But the context that people read that in, I say is thwarted because Paul also comes back to say here in this, three chapters before this chapter, in Romans chapter 7, verse 14, he says this, just to get some context going. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, right. He says, for we know that the law is spiritual. So you can't be in the spirit if you're not keeping the law.
Right.
Knowing that the law is spiritual. So... But like what we're going into in the topic we're going into, that we started yesterday, you did have a lot of Israelites that were keeping the law, but they still didn't understand. They still didn't have the knowledge of what God was talking about. They still didn't quite understand His righteousness. That first off, you got to start. It's just like you can't read a book unless you learn your ABCs. You got to learn your ABCs when you start to read. So
right.
The Israelites. Needed a starting place, And that's when the Lord did give us the actual law from the Torah, from Moses, or what have you. But it wasn't supposed to stop there, as far as our education, as far as our learning. That now,
right?
If the law says not to eat pork, like what you was bringing out, if the law was saying don't eat pork, because it's unclean, cool. Now, what did a person have to face? If I like eating pork, I don't understand. Okay, all the medical issues that arise from a lifetime of eating pork, from high cholesterol, from the possible worms, the triglycerides, and all the medical issues that come from a lifetime of eating pork, that maybe a person doesn't understand that, because all they understand and know is this is what I grew up with, and this I like this taste, like what everything you were saying. But and going by what you like, and now the law says not to eat it. Now is a person going to follow God's will and not eating it, or are they going to be stuck in their pride or stuck in their stubbornness that I'm going to keep doing what I want to do because of how it makes me feel, regardless of how God wants, or regardless of, did Christ eat pork? When Christ cast the unclean spirits into the herd of swine, did he go back and eat them?
Right. No. Right. No.
But we can see on another level where Christ, but it wasn't about the will of men, about our own particular will. Again, the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And for Christ even say in the Garden of Gethsemane, the three times he prayed to the Father, Father, I don't want to go through this, but if it be thy will, let thy will be done. And we can see the will of the Father was for Christ to suffer. That was the will of God.
Yeah.
Christ didn't want to get on the cross. He didn't want to have to shed his blood. And come on, where you're, how much stress is a person under to where you're sweating drops of blood?
Yeah.
This is what Christ physically experienced. He did not want to go through this. To where when he tells the disciples, buy a sword, get ready to fight. They come to get me. But then he had to come back to his senses after being in the garden, and the angels had to come and minister to him. And I don't know, you got to go through this. You can handle this. But you got to go through this, that he accepted. He accepted his condition. He accepted, this is what I have to go through. Thy will be done. So instead of getting, like we started to bring on yesterday, people want to get caught up in the technicalities of the law. And there's a time and place for that. When a woman's on the menstrual cycle, why would she be considered unclean? One, that's the time her body's cleansing. So don't be having sex with her and putting the extra stress on her during that time. Let her be separated and rest. Let her be rest and recuperate. Don't keep demanding and demanding and demanding when she's losing blood. And if the scripture tells us, if God told Adam, or told Noah, as a matter of fact, that the life is in the blood, if a woman is bleeding once a month, that's part of her life. She's going to be weak. So don't approach her or any type of way, or put any extra demands on her, according to the law says, because she needs to try to recuperate. Why would somebody want to be against that? Why would somebody think that is wrong?
Right.
But this is us not really making sure. The reason a person would think that's wrong is because they like having sex with a woman during that time.
Come
on. They like having sex with a woman at that time to not have to resist the flesh. They have to resist that urge of being with a woman during that time. I'm sorry, bro.
No, I was saying, and I like what you said, because that's what a person is like, but this is what feels good to me. You know what I'm saying? This is like, I start because of the flesh, I start doing a lot of justification, justifying why it's okay for me to now indulge in this. You know what I'm saying? Right. Well, the most I forget it. The most I understood, man, me and my own, we ain't been together for a while. This is that, man, and most of the scriptures do say is better to marry than to burn. You know what I'm saying? We start doing a lot of justifying like some of the things we was talking about yesterday, Mashallah. Looking at groups that we follow. That's why sometimes think about it, that's why it's easier, Mashallah, to follow the mass or follow just to stay, not gonna say stay in order, but stay like what's the word we used last this day? We was going on the man. They stay not just staying in order, but I stay
accepted.
Accepted, right. So sometimes I'll do things. I'll find the group, even in the truth, even with Israel. We'll find the group that kind of fits the things that I believe. You know what I'm saying?
True.
I like living like this. I like doing this way, and I'm accepted here. So my mindset is accepted because I kind of think like this group thinks. It'll be like, man, I'm with them under Commander General Yohana. But I like that group because I like having the guns. I like wearing the black. You know what I'm saying? I like wearing the studs. I like their whole philosophy. So I'll follow that group. Not necessarily, I'll make sure I'm in order there because I like the way they roll. And that'll be almost the only reason that I followed the group. Not because I'm comparing the Bible to this group, but it fit some of the things I was into. Or it could be, hey, you know, I went with, what's that other group, IUIC. They know they have the music in the church. They really don't believe in more than one woman. And you, me and my woman, we kind of on that same page too. So this is why I lean more to this group because it's the environment that I can fit in rather than me really learning the Bible or learning to follow the Bible so that I fit with the Most High. And if we was all in that mind frame where it was about the Bible or the Most High, then it wouldn't be nowhere to kind of lean to because we all doing the same thing. The scriptures do say that we all speak the same thing, that there be no division among us.
True.
So if the Bible says there's not supposed to be any division among us, then what's being used to divide us? Just personal preferences. That's the only thing that's being used to divide Israel today. Personal preferences. These are the men that I prefer to be around. This is the group that I prefer to be around or to follow. That's really all it is. Because you can look at every state almost now has different sets of the same groups in that same state. San Antonio has IUIC, GOCC, ISUBK, you know what I mean, ISBHBK, whoever else is out there. You know what I'm saying? A little group is out there. They have all these little groups in that same city. If we all in the same city, then why are we not together? We all have the same Bible. Why are we not all together? And the only thing I can come up with is, well, it's just personal preferences. We're only not together because I prefer this group more than I preferred that group. That was it. Because not one, I haven't really sat down and heard anyone really point out, and maybe you can help me with this, Mashallah, but I haven't heard anybody really point out, well, this was wrong with this group. Or this is against the Bible with that group. You know what I'm saying? I've really saw that. What I've seen is guys that have decided, well, this is who I want to follow. This is who I've chosen to follow. I've chosen to walk with this group. Well, I've chosen to walk with that group. Well, I've chosen to walk with this group. It has really been about the Bible. What do you think?
I agree. I agree with that statement. I definitely agree with that statement. and that find the right words, or get my mind in order, that and us not really understanding the Bible, I guess, or Bible history, from a Hebrew Israelite point of reference, and that we do have all these different divisions to the point where there's a hatred now against others who are not following the same thing I'm following. But now if we go back and look at even during the time of Paul, yet people that would read a scripture, say it's Genesis 6 and 9, I believe it is, and or 9:24, and it was after the flood, and God told Noah that the trees would be for meat. Going back to like a diet that came from Noah, that was given to Noah after the flood. And now hold on to that scripture, and see that's why we can only be vegetarians. We can't eat meat, even though for the Israelites coming out of Egypt, the Lord now gave us the technicalities on. If you choose to be a meat eater, then these are the animals that if you're going to eat meat, then these are the credentials that must be met if you choose to be a carnivore. If you decide to eat meat.
Right.
Then these are the animals that are created that will be the best for you, that will not do damage to you if you choose to eat meat. But it was taken to the point of where war actually began amongst the Israelites about those who ate meat and those who didn't, as opposed to keeping the foundation of the law. Keeping the foundation of, because remember, one thing that people do forget about the law is that the law was about love. The law was supposed to teach us how to love. For people that have not experienced or don't know what love is, who don't recognize what God's love is. God's love is the law.
That's true.
This is how you're gonna live. This is how you're gonna get the best out of everything. This is how you're gonna enjoy the best out of everything, by following these rules, these boundaries, that I made the earth for your sake. I made you. I have the pleasure that you should die. That wasn't God's purpose, but he said because of sin, that was sin entered in, and now people wanted to follow just their own taste. That's why when Paul comes back and says, "Taste not, touch not, handle not." Don't even give yourself over to him, because if it gets to your mindset that you really like this taste, you'll go with what you like. And even like you're saying about with the different groups, I'm going to go with this group because I like what you're saying, to the point where I will hate and talk bad about another group, where Paul even came back again and was saying, look, are there not many members to a body?
Right.
Don't let the eye despise what the foot is doing. Don't let the hand despise what the knee is doing. Everybody's got to play their part. But one thing they have in common is, being of the one body, they're starting with the law.
You just put something together that was on point. You look at it, Shabba, you brought out one thing. If the law, if the purpose of the law was for us to now all follow the Most High, then that should be the one thing that unifies us, is the law. If we sit down at the table up and we're at this table and the same foods that you eat are the same foods that I eat, we should enjoy our meal, because we know that we here at the table and we all eat the same thing. If we all, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown or Saturday morning, we're in Sabbath service, I should be able to go to anywhere and walk until Saturday. Or Saturday morning, I can walk in anywhere to a Sabbath service, and there should be no problem. Because what am I doing that you're doing? We're both keeping the Sabbath day.
Okay.
But you would think just the fact that we were keeping the law would be enough to unify us, but we're choosing not to be unified. We're not even using the law to be the thing that is that common bond. Are you keeping the commandments? You know what I'm saying? Are you keeping the commandments?
Right.
So if I sat down to go to dinner with you, man, and I could see choosing not to go to dinner because when I came to your house, you had bacon in that, or you had fucking shrimp on this, and you have shellfish here, and you're like, okay, but I can't come eat with you because there's nothing on this table I can eat because the things that you eat are abominable. They're an abomination to the Father. But if both of us know the right things to eat, right, and the right days that we're supposed to honor the Father, you would think that in itself would unify us because we both believe the same thing. So the question then would be, why are we choosing not to unify if the law that the if following the Father only does one thing? It only unifies you. It would only do, it only accomplishes one goal, Java. It unifies. Because I got now that I eat like you eat. Can two walk together except to be agreed? I eat like you eat.
Sure.
I honor the Father on the same exact days that you follow, that you honor him on. Every high holy day, Sabbath day, we do the exact same thing that the other camps do. The only thing that might that may play differently would be something simple as a date, right? The calendar. The calendar you use might not have been the calendar I used. You know what I'm saying? Or a sliver of the moon. Something that minute would be the reason why I'm dividing from you. I divided from you because of the sliver of the moon, or I divided from you because you don't use the same calendar that I use to find out the moon, or the same source that I use to find out the moon of that month would be the only reason that I didn't have Passover with you. It'll be like every group will have a big Passover. If you could think that every group will have a big Passover, if everybody is honoring the Passover, then why are we not together honoring the Passover? And it's only preference.
Right.
It's only preference. That's all it is. It's preference. If every group is doing the Day of Atonement, everybody fasted on the Day of Atonement, why are we not having the feast on the Day of Atonement together? Preference. It's only preference. That's all this is. And then now because the preference has gotten so big, you're right, I've learned to hate you because of your preference, not because of your righteousness. I'll even now choose my words to say, he said, if they walk not according to this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. Which Paul is right. But if we're walking and we're using the same book, why in the world would I not have company with this man? That's, when you look at the book, you can look at where the Father is very displeased. You're not following my will. My will is to bring y'all together. My will was about dividing. Go ahead.
With the Old Testament law of, or the Levitical law of the Day of Atonement from Leviticus 23rd chapter, we can come back now and look and see that the purpose of the Day of Atonement, because we have a lot of people say, well, since Christ our atonement, we no longer have to keep that day. But what was the practice that was given to us for the Day of Atonement? Was it really just about the fast, or was it about a chance to forgive one another? A chance to, that we can work on offending each other less. We can work on, you know what, if this action that I do offends you, then just like for the Day of Atonement, I can go ahead and fast to please God. Then if my actions or my word, the things I'm doing are offending you, I don't have to keep doing those things if that offense is going to have us separated. If the Father can forgive me for a year's worth of sin from the last day of atonement, or where I've trespassed against him, I've done wrong against him, but he's willing to give me another chance if I just do this one simple action, then it seems like then the wisdom and understanding behind it would be, cool, now can we do the same thing with one another? And we can see where Christ gave the example in the parable of the steward that owed the king so many talents of money, and because he didn't have it, he asked for forgiveness, and the king forgave him. But then that same steward went and found somebody who owed him like 2 pennies and grabbed him by the neck and was like, I'm not going to let you go till you pay me what you owe.
Wow.
And we look at the comparison of what this steward owed the king. What you owed the king was an amount that cannot be repaid. Your fellow servant, your brother, from what you owe to what he owed, you can't even compare the two, but you're going to hold this man by the neck. And he does the same thing you did. He asks for forgiveness, but you're like, no, hell no, forget that. You're going to pay me every last thing you owe me. To where, when that word got back to the king, he was like, when I forgave you because you asked, why didn't you do the same thing when your fellow servant asked? Now, I'm going to hold you to the same standard you're putting on this other, your fellow brother, and I want to stress your fellow brother. This is somebody of your own nation. Yeah. This is somebody of your own people. Y'all have gone through the same atrocities. You're not even going to me.
No.
And
I
now you're
going to
hold
thing.
This. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I threw that comment and I just said y'all live by the same law. Y'all believe the same thing, but I won't forgive you for whatever reason. I'm gonna hold something against you, and until you pay that, then I'm gonna throw you in jail. I'm not gonna have nothing to do with you until you repay that.
Right. And it's funny how people will come back and say the Day of Atonement is unnecessary, whatever, as far as Israelites forgiving other Israelites. But it's funny how in this day and age, especially when we're in this so-called satanic Christmas season, that now for our people, and I'm talking about the true natives of this land before it was stolen and colonized. Now, to come back and look at the atrocities that were committed against us, now all of a sudden we're supposed to forgive what another nation has done to us. We're supposed to forget what they've done. But to get back to a point where we can forget and forgive what's been done against us by our own people, we're allowed to feed and stroke those fires. But now, if we don't apply it to what Caucasians have done to our people, all of a sudden somehow now we don't believe in Christ. All of a sudden now we don't believe in the Bible. All of a sudden now, and the Bible does teach forgiveness. But when Christ was teaching about that forgiveness, who was he teaching that to?
Israelites
about other Israelites.
There you go. Exactly.
Christ, I'm dying for the whole nation of Israel. So if I can die for y'all and suffer in my flesh, and go through this for God's will, then can y'all do the same thing with one another?
Right.
And that's not the same. And again, and being 100, right? Or being for real, mm-hmm. being straight up.
Right.
When Christ said, if your brother smite thee in the cheek, he didn't say your enemy. He says your brother. If your brother smite thee in the cheek, he said, do what? Turn him the other.
Right.
This is your brother who smokes. So let's not act like if you ever get slapped, that it's not going to be painful, that it's not going to be shocking, that you're going to feel the effects of what just happened. But now to be able to stand there and turn the other cheek for your brother that offended you, not talking about the other nations, but for your own brother, somebody that was close to you, somebody that's been there for you, with you, gone through a lot,
the same person Christ died for. Can you come back now and give them another chance? That's following Christ. But to be in my
right.
head, hell no, he just hit me. He's never going to give another chance. I'm never going to give him the opportunity to make things right of the world.
The only reason a person would think that way, where I'm not going to give a person another chance, or because that was the order that was laid down. That was because it will be no different than somebody saying, if you were GOCC, well, you can't fellowship with somebody from IUIC. Well, what scripture is that? Well, it's not in the scriptures, but that is what's laid down by men. So that if these elders, if this had laid that down, then I'm following that law because they laid that down, not because it has anything to do with the will of the Father. There's a different agenda to why that was laid down than it being the Bible or the will of the Father. But these other authorities, that's what I'm going to call it, these other authorities turn you away from doing the will of the Father because I won't allow you to unify, to forgive, to work on that relationship. You're not allowed to do that. One group is not allowed to talk to the other group. So even if I wanted to get to know this person, or even, hell, I may have came to your, I mean, for example, I may have came to your street speaking. You were out there, and I said some stuff, man, I was completely out of line for disrupting whatever I did. But because we don't even have, because I'm not even allowed to talk to you, I couldn't even go over and make it right. Because that would have me out of order just going to make it right. We're not allowed to talk so that there can even be an apology, so we can even work. We're not allowed to do any of these things. Literally, group to group, they're not allowed to talk to each other. And I can't figure out how is that the will of the Father. It goes contrary to any way that you can forgive. Any way that, if we used to have the, I'm not saying we used to. I'm going to say throughout the Old Testament, there is called the law of trespass, right? There's a law of trespass that if somebody trespassed against you, you were supposed to go make it right with that person, right? That's the law of forgiveness. That's forgiveness. You were supposed to go make it right with that person. But if we're divided, there's no way for us to make anything right with one another. We make it impossible to do those things, and these are the things that were important to the Father, the fact that we did rectify whatever issues that we had, and we came back together every High Holy Day. You just mentioned the one Messiah with Day of Atonement. First is the memorial of blowing the trumpets, right? So it's a blow the trumpet to alert all Israel that they're about to come together. So they fast or get them spiritually cleaned up because they're going to now spend 8 days, I think, right? The Feast of Tabernacles?
Sure. Feast of Tabernacles,
you're
right.
You're going to spend 8 days together, feasting together. So the Most High had all of that happen. Blow the trumpet, not for just this set or this group, because we've almost became so religious that now it's like believing that, well, if you're with this set of Israel, you're going to be saved. Not all Israel is going to be saved, but we're going to be saved, and they not, because they're not with our group. But
sure.
If this is about being summoned, blowing the trumpet, to get cleaned up, fast to get cleaned up, to now feast and come together in the right mind frame to feast for 8 days. It's always been about getting Israel in one place so we could be together,
so we can now clean up and be the dead, the Passover, not the Passover, but the Sabbath day. When you read all of us, we came out of Egypt with Moses. We came out of Egypt. We built the temple. There was one law to the day of the Sabbath was that there was not supposed to serve our work, right?
Sure.
You weren't supposed to work, but you weren't supposed to stay home. You were supposed to go. Everybody didn't stay home. Well, from what I was reading, Mashallah, we came out of Egypt. Everybody didn't stay home on the Sabbath day. They went to the temple on you know what I'm saying, on the Sabbath day. Everybody got together, went to the same temple, same tent. They all went to that same one where the sacrifices were being done, where all of the spiritual things were being done. Everybody was there for that. So even in that event of us honoring the Sabbath day together, we were forced, not forced, but to be able to have your sins forgiven on the Sabbath day, or to make whatever offerings you need to make on the Sabbath day, we were all doing it at the same place. So the Most High was still within the law, within serving him. We had to be together to serve him. We weren't doing it individually. We still had to be together to even serve the Most High. He was requiring us to serve him as a nation, not as your preferred group that you like to be around.
True.
But I look at this whole thing and I'm like, wow, it's more about being, getting recognition with this group rather than being right with the Father. Getting acceptance with the group I'm with, and growing in the ranks of the group that I'm with, rather than being right and righteous in the eyes of the Father. Because if I understood the Father, then I would realize, man, you know what? The things that we do now are not what Israel did back in the days, for what we read in the Bible. Not from what we read in the Bible. Now, were there sets that were, had their own agendas? Yeah, there was zealots and there was all kinds of different groups that had their own agenda. But we don't read about those groups and their agendas. We only read about Israel as a nation coming out of Egypt, going into captivity, and then we read about Christ in their time period, and then Paul in his time period. So if the Most High took the whole out of the Bible, all the Israelites that were on the earth at that time, if he took that, I took those times and said, okay, this is the example that I want you to follow, because this is the one that I put in the Bible. Even during the time of Moses, there were different sets. You know, so you have, that's how the calf got built, because different sets wanted different things. And the Most High still took the direction that he wanted us to follow and the things that he wanted us to do. And he made sure that he wrote that so that we would follow that direction, that we would walk that path. I'm going to read something real quick, man, just real fast. I'm going to go here and read this real quick. It's Psalms chapter 143 and verse I'm going to read verse 5, right? It says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the works of thy hand. We were supposed to be remembering the days of old. That's the reason why we in the book. I'm supposed to be looking at how things were done during the time of Moses, during the time of Abraham, during the time of Isaac and Jacob, during the time of Christ and the apostles, during the time of Paul. We were supposed to be looking at all of this, and these are the things that I'm supposed to meditate on, not these new directions that have come up that we can't even find in the Bible. if we look at the pattern of how the Most High was doing things, it was always about using, if I gave y'all the Sabbath day, I gave you the Sabbath day so y'all would all come together. So y'all would all come to the same place on the Sabbath day together. You know,
right.
you know what we learned to do? We learned to divide, even in that. Well, we all gonna honor the Sabbath day, but we going to make sure that we don't honor the Sabbath day the way y'all honor the Sabbath day. Or we could all be in the same city, but just like churches, you have different buildings, church buildings, different denominations. Everybody goes to church on Sunday, but we all do different things that we like to do at our church on that Sunday. So we've adopted the same philosophy. We will all come together. We will all honor the Sabbath day, but we're going to honor the Sabbath day a little in our group a little different. We'll do things a little different,
right.
And we'll do it at the same time, but we just don't do it together. Your group, that's y'all's group. That's y'all's group. Well, that's y'all's group. And it's become more about men that want to lead or be recognized as leaders than it's about Israel being together. Because if I'm with your group, then I may not be recognized as a leader. If I'm with your group, I may not be recognized as a leader. If I go to your group, I'm not going to be recognized as a leader. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do my own thing so that I can be recognized as a leader. But that's more what this is about than doing the things that the Most High intended for us to do from the jump, which was to now follow this because it's going to bring y'all together. Follow this high holy day. It's going to bring y'all together. Follow this this law because it is going to bring y'all together. I'm going to read just first. I'm going to jump down to verse 9, verse 10.
Okay.
It says, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my power. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. We are not allowing ourselves to be taught his will. You know, there's a article that says his will. I mean, it's the reason why he set that up. I'm not allowing myself to let the Father teach me. This is why I did this. I gave you that law, but now I'm trying to give you the reason why I gave you the law. I set this high holy day up, but if you allow me to teach you why now, if you do it together, you'll understand why I put that in place.
Yeah.
And what we're doing is we're going through the motions. We're going through the motions, but we're not taking the time to allow the Father to get us to understand why he has put things in place and what for and the reason behind it. We won't learn his will. This is why.
True.
This was my thinking. This is my motivation. Father, what is your motivation? If you would let me teach you, I will teach you my motivation. I'm teaching you what I'm trying to accomplish. So we can stop guessing. So we can stop saying, well, I kept the Sabbath day. We can stop saying, well, you know, I don't eat pork. I'm keeping the laws. We're missing the big picture. I guess the best way of saying it. You know what I'm saying? We are missing his big picture. And we're not allowing ourselves to be taught that. Verse 11, it says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, develop my understanding. Bring me to life. It's like saying, bring me up to speed, man. That's something I'm missing. Bring me up to speed. Help me understand. It says, for thy name's sake. It says, for thy righteousness' sake. Bring me up to speed so that I'm right with you. So when I represent you, I'm representing you, Father, the right way. Help me understand. David was like, help me understand so that when I for your name's sake, for the fact this, so I represent you the right way. For I am right, even in your righteousness. I'm righteous. I'm the right type of righteousness. I'm right in your eyes. It says, bring my soul out of trouble. That's all we've been doing. We have been only doing things our way. We're making a mess, Doc. Is that what I'm saying? We're making a mess of following the Father, of being that example of the Father, you know? We have to stop and learn what it is he's trying to accomplish. And if we don't allow ourselves to get in this book enough and start reading to understand what he is trying to accomplish, we're never going to be on page with him, man.
Yeah. That's true. That is so true. And that gives us more understanding about this grace period we're in.
God.
That from Romans 2:4, like you was bringing also, things written aforetime were written for our learning.
Right.
Why would the Most High have, as we were talking about even yesterday, why would the Most High have the experiences of all these men, all these people in the Bible, from Adam going all the way through John on the island of Patmos, giving us the book of Revelation? Why do we have all these different people's lives written down for us to learn from if we're not learning what they experience? If we're not learning from the things that they were doing. But again, from the very beginning, and that's one scripture I pulled up also, going back to the very beginning. My arthritis is kicking in my knees, so give me a second. In Genesis chapter 4, let me get back to it. Because we were talking about, you know, being accepted by the Father. Being accepted by the Father was what we've been building these past 2 days up on. I didn't want to keep Peter. I must admit, I did a concordance search. This is the 4 and verse 7. And this was a conversation that came when Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice to the Most High. Whose sacrifice was accepted? It was Abel's.
Abel's.
Because he brought what the Most High wanted. As opposed to Abel brought what the Most High wanted, as opposed to Cain, Cain brought what he treasured.
Right.
Cain brought what he valued, thinking that now this is going to be acceptable to God. And the Father told him no. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, he says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door.
God.
So what law, you know, sin is the transgression of the law. So if it was just about the Levitical law, what Levitical law would Cain have broken for it to be counted for him sin? The sin, like Peter was trying to bring out to us and show us yesterday as we were going over, the sin was he was following after his flesh, meaning he was doing what he felt was right to him, as opposed to what was right with God. He wasn't bringing what God wanted and going according to God's will. He was going according to his own will. And many of us today, whether we be Israelites in different camps, going by these particular different wills, or the whole world today, period. This world today is built on, this present evil world that we're living in today is built on, do according to your will. Do as thou wilt. Have it your way. I'm loving it. Just do it. All the different monikers of in the world today that are subliminally attacking and showing our people, you don't have to follow God. Follow yourself. As long as it makes you happy. As long as it's about what pleases your appetite. We're seeing this from Genesis, the very first book of the Bible,
Genesis, the fourth chapter.
Wow.
If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. So we got to come back and take a look at, are we really doing God's will to be accepted by him, or are we still trying to force what we like, what we think, what we see? Because, you know, the prayer that everybody gets, when everybody prays, they say, God, you know what I like. Okay? God does know everything. He does know everything. That's true. But have we taken time to learn, like how you're bringing out, are we taking the time to learn what God likes? Are we taking time to learn what the Father wants? And this is where a lot of us, we still miss the boat. This is where a lot of us, we still don't get it. Even as we come back now after all this time, and we're calling ourselves Israelites, and we're learning about, okay, I know I don't eat pork. Okay, I don't eat shrimp, crab, or lobster. I keep a Sabbath. I keep a Passover. All right, cool. But what about the other levels to this, the evolution of the same thing? Are we really learning to do what is accepted by God's will? And I'm gonna go back to Christ. Who willingly will put themselves on a cross to be tortured? Unless you're some sadomasochistic type of individual, nobody would willingly put themselves in a line of danger. They would not willingly put themselves where they're taking on the sins of a whole nation upon themselves, so that the nation can be healed. Nobody is willingly doing this to where I'm going to take the rejection, the hatred. I'm going to take the rebuke. I'm going to take the like you was bringing out ESPN Peter. It was showing us about how to follow Christ, you will be considered doing something strange. People that you might have been doing this, that, and third with, but now I'm actually following Christ, and the mentality is, why are you still doing that? Why are you still being humble? Man, why are you – there's no way in hell you're a fool. You're wrong for doing what you're doing.
You got to go ahead. I'm sorry, let me cut you off. Please finish it. Finish your point.
There's a slight delay, so I didn't hear everything you said.
Oh, I was going to say, no, I was going to tell you, finish your point. But I got to read the scripture, man. It goes right with what you were bringing out. But also, remember we talked about the future, right? The kids, them growing up, and the things that they're following from us is molding their outlook on Israel, or following the Father, living right, right? I'm gonna read this, man. 2 Ezra chapter 14, and I'm gonna start at verse 20, right? I'm gonna read it. It says, "Behold," and this is 2 Ezra to the Apocrypha. Chapter 14, verse 20, it says, "Behold, Lord, I will go as thou hast commanded me, and reprove the people which are present. But they that shall be born afterwards, who shall admonish them? Through, it says, though the world is set in darkness, and they that dwell therein are without light. It says, for thy law is burnt. It says, therefore no man, for thy law is blunt. I'm sorry, I didn't say burnt. It's blunt. Therefore no man knoweth the things that are done of thee, or the work that shall begin. For if they find grace before thee, it says, send the Holy Spirit unto me. It says, for if I have found grace before thee, send the Holy Spirit upon me or unto me. and I shall write all that have been done in the world since the beginning. So it was always about noting this is what's happening so they can be passed on. The law to everything else is supposed to be passed on the right way. So even in what we're doing now, what are we passing on to the next generation? They're not getting the Bible the right way. The Bible said, he said, I know your word is blunt. It's direct, man, it's to the point. All this confusion, they're being taught confusion when that's not the way the way the Most High was delivering this to us. But he had to ask, as he said, who gonna now be around in these later days to give it to them? It says, I shall write all that has been done in the world since the beginning, which were written in thy law, that men may find thy path. We only find the Most High's direction. The law is supposed to guide us down that path. God. If I have, as a nation, if we're all following this law together, it is going to lead us down the right path. But we'll understand the direction the Most High is taking Israel because we're keeping the law. We're doing that together. We'll all be able to be guided down the right path. But if we're individuals, I'm doing this over here. I'm kind of doing it my way over here. I'm kind of doing what's favorable to me.
Yeah.
I'm going to kind of follow the laws I want to hold on to. And the thing is, I don't think they're that important. I'm not going to kind of give myself to the things that I feel aren't important. You're never going to find that right path. You're never going to be walking down the right path as a nation. We're never going. It's like saying this. As a nation, we ain't going nowhere. Shabba.
Yeah.
Because the law is what the law, this is all right in the law, that men may find thy path, and that they which will live in the latter days may live. We're destroying that path for the future. Because we don't want to keep the laws right, and we don't want to live and unify and everything else. The path that these kids are following is the wrong path. Now, this is going to be the future of Israel. Everybody that comes in, the kids are only going to learn to, they're going to believe that the path that they're on is the path to the Most High. I'm with IUIC, this is the path. I'm with GOCC, this is the right path. I'm with UPK, this is the right path. The father like, man, if y'all was all keeping the law, we would all find this path together. We will be on the path together, not individually.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I thought that I had to read it and be like, man, this was always about continuing to keep the right example going so that our kids would find their way. They would find the right path to be able to walk down and serve the Father. But they having problems.
God.
The world is already wicked. As I said, we already know the world is dark. There ain't no light in this world. There's never wickedness and darkness. So when our kids are out here and they know what's in the world, man, they live the world. They see what's in the world. Now when it's time to find the right path, what path are they walking on? Division, strife,
yeah.
Division, no forgiveness. That's the path we put them on. Our decisions have put our children on a path of destruction. We chase them. It's almost like saying this. We chase our children right back into the world. But the things we do, because we don't want to keep the law.
Names, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Right. Got Hebrew names, but they, you've destroyed the path, man, Masala. For somebody who know, for men who know that, it's been 30 years there, man, now. Creeping 30, bro. Creeping 30 fast. 2020,
yeah.
is 30 years, man. I'm sorry, 2022. That's 30 years. And we watched a whole generation, Meshaba, of Israelite kids that got Hebrew names, and they lost because men didn't keep the law. They didn't keep living right, so that they would stay on the right path as a body, and these children now could continue down that path, that if they passed away, whatever it was, if we die tomorrow, our children are supposed to know the path and continue down that path. But we haven't created a path. We haven't kept the laws and kept it right so that our children can follow the path the way the Most High was intending for this to go. If Christ yeah. don't come back in our generation, then they're supposed to continue down that path. That was the expectation of the Father. So if we haven't continued the path, if we haven't set this path up for them to follow, and we got babies that have come in. Crazy thing is, we got little ones. In 20 years, when they're like 18, 19, and 20, and now they got their bodies are tatted up, and they smoking cigarettes, and they doing drugs, but they got Hebrew names. The Most High can look back and say, well, then they're on this path because you didn't show them the path. You showed them what felt good to you. And then we can use the excuse, well, I was just staying in order. You're right. You were in order. Your order just killed, just destroyed the path they were supposed to be on. Damn, man, if we were supposed to show them, if you, Mustafa, you always quote a scripture. You quote, your faces is Zephaniah 2:2-1. Gather yourselves together.
Yeah.
Even within our children, what are we teaching them not to do?
Gather together.
Yeah, we literally teach our own kids that it's to be friends with this other Israelite kid, to call and check on him, to go stay in his house, to go and be, for them to bond together, there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong
yeah.
with that. Personal experience, my cousin, my blood cousin, him and his kids, they're Israelites, but they're with GOCC. So we literally have to kind of sneak around. No matter of fact, we use our Jake names. We call each other.
Right.
That's almost the time. It almost feels like, okay, we put the Israelite down, and now we can be family. We put down the on the Sabbath day, yeah, we're going to be Israelites on the Sabbath day, but when we get together, we got to kind of, let's step to the world. Now, we're not eating pork and everything else, but this worldly time, we don't use the Bible. We don't use Israelite scriptures. We don't use none of that. We don't even use Hebrew names. I call him by his Jake name. He called him by my Jake name because this is the only time that my kids and his kids get to do what? They get to hang out. We almost have to create family time that is not around Israel. But it shouldn't even be that way. Every time we sit down to eat, every time I've been to his house, me and my kids go there, we eat at his house, everybody's eating the same thing. He know the law. Every time he's come to the house, I know the law. I know that he eat and don't eat.
Right.
But it's not politically correct for us to honor the Sabbath day together. He will get in trouble. He will get in trouble if we went and honored the Sabbath day together because we don't necessarily believe the same thing. Because the bylaws, I'm going to say like that, Shabbat, the bylaws that they operate under aren't necessarily correct with my group's bylaws.
True.
And I guarantee you there are a lot of Israelites that have to almost operate the same way. For us to be, for us to unify, we have to kind of still live under the same bylaws, not the laws of the Most High, because that would naturally put us on the same path. But now we have to be politically correct. Your bylaws have to now match my bylaws for us to now walk together. Now, what do I mean by bylaws? I mean this group's things that they feel are important and the things they don't feel are important. And if you don't, if it's the new moon, if we can't be together, if you are out of the new moon, and I do. Baptism, and that's really the only reason for me and him, that's the only reason that we don't, we're not technically in the same group, because they believe that you have to be baptized. You have to go to the water and be baptized. Also, Bible, I've read and been taught that the scriptures sanctify us. The Bible is baptism. Change your life. Neither one of them is wrong. But that shouldn't be the thing that stops us from doing what? Being able to socialize together, being able to live together, being able to now be neighbors, check on one another, look out for one another. We have to do that under the pretense of you're my family, so I'm going to make sure that you're straight. When automatically, naturally, the thought should have been, we're all family, let's make sure that we're all straight.
Yeah.
I'm going to turn it back over to you. I'm trying, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to share it a little bit. I'm trying to make sure we both, because we're driving points. You know what I'm saying? I want us to be able to build on a point together. You know what I'm saying? So I want to make sure I'm not so winded where I'm just dominating the conversation when you have so much to add also. You see what I'm saying?
I don't doubt. But you're adding, the lady just gave us our 10 seconds.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
It's 12 already?
It's 12 already,
man, this should have been going fast, Doc. I'll tell you, on these shows, you better be listening to get what you need to get. You better get the meat out of it very quickly. Or let me read one more, man, before she gets out on us, man. Let me go real quick. The Tobit. Tobit 4 and 5. That's where I want to go. Real quick, man, before we end it, I just want to go to Tobit chapter 4 in the Apocrypha. Chapter 4 and verse 5. Tobit, I'm going to read it. Tobit chapter 4 and verse 5. This is my son.
Okay.
Be mindful of the Lord thy power all thy days. And let not thy will be set to sin. If you don't know the direction the Father is doing, then everything you're doing is counterproductive. Everything that we do end up becoming counterproductive to our nation, to our family, to our children. I could swear I'm right, but you have to look at the effect that we leave. What effect, what's happening with the relationship? We can say something simple. I can stop and look at, okay, what's happening with the relationships with the children, with our own immediate children? What's happening with their relationships? All of a sudden, they're not allowed to hang out with another kid that they grew up with because these parents don't agree. Now the whoever was uncle before, now all of a sudden he ain't uncle. But I don't know why he ain't uncle. And you just have, that's just been determined. Or she ain't auntie. I don't know why she ain't auntie, but that's been determined. But what,
yeah.
To the point of be like, well, what does that have to do with us being together? Because that might have been my best friend. And you know, I bring that back because that is one thing that has been going on in Israel for a few decades. You have brothers and sisters that have gotten close, that bonded and got close, and because of a dispute with elders, because elders that didn't agree, everybody else, you had to choose sides. You had to choose who you was going to follow and who you wasn't going to follow. And I go back, Mishabu, when I was 20, in my 20s, coming to the truth, and it was the split of Israel. It was you had the elders that split. They all split. You had a lot of brothers that were in New York had great bonds with each other. They had brothers and bonds, but it was like, man, one minute, okay, but who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the House of David or 12 tribes? Pharaoh was the 12 tribes. You going to follow the 12 tribes or you going to stay with ISBSUK? Which you got to make a choice. So you had a lot of brothers that went on to follow the 12 tribes. I agree with some of their points. I agree with what they were saying. I agreed. So because I agreed with what the man was saying or what he was bringing out, I chose to walk down that path. But I ended up later on now saying, man, that was a brother. That was a friend and a brother that I had to walk away from because he just didn't. He chose, not to say right and wrong, he just chose to follow this group. He chose to follow the ideas and the philosophy of that man. The man could have been right in whatever he saw, but how it was handled was destructive. But we don't see the destructiveness until we get to now. In the latter days, we're seeing how destructive that decision was. That's what this has been. We're not, like Scripture say, what man said it not down to count the cost. There was no cost that was counted. Because no one could predict that it was going to be this destructive in the end. It may not destroy their lives. They went on. But it's the fabric of Israel. It was built on unity and love and brotherhood. Everybody that was following the law. It wasn't so much that you was an Israelite because you were fringes. Or you were an Israelite because you wore a shield or didn't wear a shield. You was an Israelite because you was keeping the laws of the Most High. You were an Israelite because you honored the Sabbath day. That's all that mattered. We all kept the law. And because we were keeping the law, I didn't have to be perfect, but I was recognized as an Israelite because I was keeping the commandments of the Father. I would say, you have the ability, Mishabu, to say shalom to anyone that came in your presence.
Yeah.
You went down to Florida. Got down there, met brothers that were from New York. That were like, hey, man, oh, man, Mishabu, oh, shalom. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? I haven't seen you, and you have a Sabbath class? We going to come by. It was never looked at like this brother's wicked or off, because we were just honoring the Sabbath day together, man. We were unified together on those simple things.
True.
Now this thing doesn't become all political. I have to agree with you to worship with you. That there is a sin in that. But where it destroys, it may not affect us. We'll all die in our little pride and go on. But I guarantee you, this is going to be so bad. Our children, we're only making our children, we're setting them up to be alone. That's all we're doing. We lived it, Mishabu, in Albuquerque. We had 20 kids.
Yeah.
Albuquerque is a small place. We had 20 to 30 Israelite kids with Hebrew names. They don't even talk to each other. All their friends in the world they live in is in the world. They in the world. They chased them to the world. But we chose to be politically correct, and we destroyed any opportunity that our children have had to come together, bond together to serve the Most High. How you doing? They're going to open up about 10 minutes. Can you come right back? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's perfect. She's coming right now. I was just waiting for it. All right. I'm sorry, Michelle. But my point I'm making is,
it's all good.
That and I don't want to carry it through, we can keep going with these topics, but we have a lot to fix, and a lot of we're destructive only because we don't know the will of the Father. We didn't really see what He was planning and putting together. We've been walking down the wrong path and not seeing that there's an end to this path. There's a direction that the Most High was going. It was something He was building that we don't see, man, okay, this can't be the road that the Most High wanted. He never wanted it. I know the Father's intent wasn't for our children to grow up without their neighbor or their brother and sister. How can we teach brotherly love if we don't have a brother? How can we teach unity? Even marriages. How many young men and women now, they got to go to the world now for a husband or a wife? You gave them no choice.
Yeah.
We killed it. You killed any opportunity. We're killing any opportunity for them to now, I can't marry that young lady because her father don't get along with this group. I've been taught that those people are wicked. Okay. Foolish decide. Like I said, this shit is destructive if we don't see that we're killing. We're not walking down that path that the Most High is intending us to walk down. And where we're keeping the law, we're steady breaking the law because some of the things that we're doing it's not really of the Most High. It's just about being politically correct. And we're more focused on being politically correct than right with Him. And now because this choice we're making, we're becoming more destructive trying to be politically correct. I'm going to let it go like that, man. We're going to keep building on this. You know what I'm saying? We'll definitely come back next week if you want to and keep building on the same topic.
Oh, no doubt. Yes.
All right.
Cool. So with that.
I'm with it. I am in.
We do want to thank everybody who did tune in today. And
we will continue this topic next Monday, as a matter of fact, on Monday.
You'd like to tune in. If you have any questions, whatever, or would like to hit me up. Please do. You can leave a comment to me in the comment section, and we will definitely get back in touch. So with that, have a blessed day, and remember, keep the Most High in your thoughts. And before you make a move or whatever, think about what is God's will, not what you. Everybody's familiar with what you want to do, but take a second to think about what does God want. Don't do the old fallback of God, give me this, if it be your will, I'll have it. Don't do that. You can go and study and see what God wants you to have. You can go read and see what God really wants you to have. Don't play a lottery with God. He's not a genie in the bottle. All right, so with that, I'm going to say shalom to Wadabonabai for the insights and for the scripture and everything. And with that, brothers and sisters, we're going to say shalom.
Shalom, everybody.
Shalom, shalom.